Well, good morning again. Two little boys were spending the night at their grandmother's house the week before Christmas. The grandmother saw the boys off to bed and then retired to her bedroom, leaving the boys there to say their bedtime prayers. And the younger boy spoke first, and he shouted his prayer in a loud voice, "Dear God, I want a bicycle for Christmas. Amen." And his older brother said, "Well, why are you yelling? God isn't deaf." "No," he said, "but grandmother is." So there you go. Merry Christmas. You know, it's hard to believe that it's Christmas time, isn't it? My guess is that many of us are having a hard time getting into the Christmas spirit. The year has been challenging, to say the least. The holiday song, "We Need a Little Christmas," sung famously by Johnny Mathis, has been kind of ringing in my head this past week. Here's just a few of the lyrics from the song. "Haul out the holly, put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking, I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For I've grown a little leaner, grown a little colder, grown a little sadder, grown a little older. And I need a little angel sitting on my shoulder, where we need a little music, need a little laughter, need a little singing, ringing through the rafter, where we need a little Christmas now." To me, that's an appropriate Christmas song for 2020. We need a little Christmas right now. And I think we'll see that the characters in the original biblical Christmas story needed to hear the message of Christmas as well. This morning we're going to begin a December series that's going to focus on the characters of Christmas and how they responded to the arrival of God's Son in the world. In other words, we're going to examine the human stories within the larger story of God sending His Son into the world. And we're going to begin today with the story of Mary, the earthly mother of Jesus. And if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 26 through 38. Luke's the third book in the New Testament. And Mary serves as a model of faith at Christmas time. Through Mary's response to the supernatural news of this great birth, we learn that humble faith trusts and surrenders. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How would this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' Then the angel left her." You know, in just a few verses, we learn a great deal about Mary and the humble setting of the arrival of God's Son into the world. Luke reports that God sent his messenger, the angel Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And Nazareth was just a dot on the map. It was just a small farming town. compared to Nazareth, Rockville is a metropolis, if you can imagine. Nazareth was the type of town that you would travel through to get to important cities like Antioch in the north and Jerusalem in the south. And if you were using your GPS as you approached Nazareth, it would look like you were just driving through the fields. It would be all green. Nazareth was so backwards that the first comment that Nathanael made when he was considering following Jesus as a disciple was this. He said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" In other words, why would I be interested in following someone who comes from a part of the world that nobody knows or respects? Now, if we could rewrite the Christmas story, we might be tempted to make some edits with this part of the story. We would have King Jesus born in the most important city in the world in the first century, Rome. With great fanfare and glitz, there would be fireworks and a parade and parties and 24/7 news coverage. But that's not the story that the Bible tells. God instead chooses to allow His majesty to come into the mundane and the ordinary. And what could be more ordinary than a teenage peasant girl? Scholars believe that Mary was likely 13 to 16 years old. She was young, poor, sexually inexperienced, and engaged to a man named Joseph. And Mary is an unlikely hero. She's not who would immediately come to mind when we think about the person who's going to partner with the God of the universe in bringing about the greatest miracle in human history. From an earthly perspective, Mary's credentials were unimpressive. But the calling of Mary reminds us that God sees things differently than the world does. The world sees a careless teenager about to be caught up in a scandal. God sees a highly favored future mother of great faith. The world sees a person who doesn't matter. God sees a humble servant who's simply willing to be used for His glory. In fact, this is what God sees when He looks at you and me. You may feel like a nobody, but you know what? God has a different perspective. You are His child. You were created in His image. What could be more honorable than that? He loved you so much that His Son died for you. He's prepared a place in eternity for you. That's what God sees when He looks at you. He sees a son or a daughter of the true King. The author Daniel Darling makes this comment. He says, "The Christmas story reminds us that God moves in and among those in society, those whom society most often leaves behind. The thread of a redemption woven throughout Scripture winds its way through a lot of small towns and seemingly little lives. Nobody knew Mary's name. Nobody but God, of course. And God knows your name." God's selection of and His favor toward Mary, I think, illustrate a lesson that we hear in the Bible over and over again in different ways, and that is this: God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Such a vital lesson. Life with God requires humility. We need humility to admit that we cannot make sense of life apart from God. It takes humility to confess a need for a Savior. It takes humility to surrender our life to Jesus as Lord in baptism. It takes humility to acknowledge our ongoing battle with sin and our need for support each and every day. It takes humility to just open up our life and just be willing to be used by God, whatever He would desire. And it takes humility to belong to God's kingdom. Remember, Jesus taught, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Mary serves as an example of humble faith that God highly favors. Mary would sing about God's favor just a few verses later in Luke chapter 1. Did you know that Mary wrote the first Christmas song? In Luke chapter 1, 46 through 45, it records Mary's response of worship to God and His grace. Let me just share with you a couple of the verses of this passage, a famous passage traditionally known as the Magnificat. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Mary had a humble birth, a humble upbringing, and she had very humble earthly credentials. But she also had a humble heart of faith toward God. And as a result, God selected her to be the one to bring Jesus into the world. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. What did the angel Gabriel reveal to Mary about this child? In verse 30, she's told that she will give birth to a son and she'll give him the name Jesus. Jesus was a very common name, and we'll think about the meaning of that name next week as we think about Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. But Jesus would not simply be an ordinary child. Verses 32 and 33 really bring this to life, giving us this description. Jesus will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High. He will be given the throne of David, upon which He will reign in His eternal kingdom. All of these descriptions are ideas, they're streams from the Old Testament that point to Jesus as the promised Messiah, God's royal representative. Jesus would be God's King, the earth's true King, who would bring peace and salvation and the rule of God to the world. However, the biblical Christmas story teaches us that Jesus is more than God's Messiah, His anointed one, His ambassador. Though all those titles tell us something about who Jesus is, there's a deeper mystery to Jesus' identity and nature, and it's hinted at in verse 35. Jesus is described as the Son of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. This is the miracle of the incarnation, the miracle of Christmas. This is the great mystery of the Christian faith. Jim was alluding to that today. That God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, entered the world, joining a human nature to His divine nature through the womb of Mary. Jesus is fully God and fully man. And as divine, Jesus lifts humankind to God for healing. And as a human being, Jesus brings God to humankind and His salvation. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about visiting with family, and all of my side of the family pretty much are kind of now in eastern Pennsylvania. And we'll go there, and I love to see my nieces. My niece Rachel has three beautiful little children who, Jackson, Riley, and Kenzie, my mother calls them a caution, and they are. But when I get there, they've warmed up to me, and they love to roughhouse. And so I don't have much time before I'm on the ground, which is getting harder, by the way. Getting on the ground and throwing them over my shoulder, and sometimes I'll sit on a chair and they'll slide down my legs because they're long, like a good slide, you know. But when I go there and see them, I do my best to try to get down on their level. And the Bible says that in Jesus, God gets down on our level. The Apostle Paul describes the mystery of Christmas this way in Philippians 2. Christ Jesus, although He existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. The message that God would enter the world in the person of Jesus is shocking, to say the least, and this message shocked Mary as well. She questions in verse 34, how would this be, since I am a virgin? And the text seems to suggest that Mary's really just asking a sincere question. not so much from a place of doubt, but from a place of curiosity. She's just struggling with the birds and the bees, we might say, not with faith. How can I have a baby since I'm a virgin, she says. What an honest, fair question. And Gabriel invites Mary and us to consider a different reality. Biology is not going to explain the supernatural birth of Jesus. The story of Christmas is a miracle to accept in faith. Rather than scratching our heads and asking questions, it's really a mystery that we respond with adoration and worship. And if we're still struggling, then the angel gives us this assurance in verse 37. No word from God will ever fail. Other translations kind of traditionally will say, nothing is impossible with God. Why don't you say that with me today? Nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel comforts us today with those words. And he says, you know, if God can speak the world into existence, if God can part seas and calm storms, if God can bring life from death, if God will one day heal and recreate the heavens and the earth, then frankly, a virgin birth is just no big deal. We should never underestimate God. And we should never underestimate what God can do through the faith of his people. How did Mary respond to Gabriel's message? Listen again to verse 38 of Luke 1. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Mary responded to her angelic visitor with humble faith and surrender. Mary's faith did not come without risk, however. The prophet Simeon in chapter 2, verses 34 and 35, cautioned Mary about what the future may hold for her as the mother of Jesus. Simeon prophesied, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I've been reading a book these past couple weeks entitled The Characters of Christmas, and the book describes the risk that Mary took when she said yes to God. Let me just share a few of the highlights. It says, let's consider what Mary was signing up for. Mary was saying yes to bearing the shame of an unwed pregnancy at a time when this carried incredible social stigma. Would her friends and family believe her claims to have been visited by the Holy Spirit? Would Joseph stay with her or put her away? We know the end of the story, but Mary did not. Mary was saying yes to raising the Son of God. It's hard enough to raise a fallen child, but imagine the burden of raising Jesus. Mary was saying a yes to a lifetime of a roller coaster emotions. She would see him feed multitudes, raise people from the dead, and walk on water. But she would also see him be mocked and jeered and taunted, even at times by his family and hometown friends. Mary would have to hold him close and then would have to let him go. She would feed him and clothe him and rock him to sleep. She would see him then grow into manhood. Most of all, though, Mary knew in some sense what was coming. She may not have understood all that Calvary would bring, but she knew enough to dread that day that her son was unjustly put on trial by his own people, her people. She knew enough to feel the foreboding sense prophesied by Simeon in the temple, that he'd be beaten senseless, hung on a tree, nails in his hands, and sword in his side. Every parent's nightmare is to see their children suffer. And Mary would live this in the most acute and agonizing way possible. So this is what Mary was saying yes to. And yet she said yes. God asked Mary to be the earthly mother of his son, the promised Messiah who would bring salvation to the world. Despite the risks, despite the potential for pain and heartache, despite not knowing what the future would hold, Mary chose to trust God's word and to surrender her will to His. And so as a result, Mary serves as a model of faith for all of us. Mary's faith inspired her relative Elizabeth to proclaim this in Luke 1, 42 and 45. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. So what does Mary teach us about faith? Faith accepts Gabriel's message that nothing is impossible with God. Faith believes that God will keep His word. Faith holds on to hope even when we are tempted to doubt God's ways and timing. Faith acts and says yes to God even when the future is unknown. And faith humbly accepts our place in God's larger plan. I read this quote this past week in one of the books about Mary that I was reading. It's a beautiful quote. I've been thinking about it over the past couple of days especially. Life may not work out as hoped, expected, or planned, but placed in God's hands, things work out. Life may not work out as hoped, expected, or planned, but placed in God's hands, things work out. That's what it means to live by faith. I think that's what it means to trust Gabriel's words that nothing is impossible with God. You know, this has not been a typical holiday season. It's been a hard year for everybody. And perhaps more than ever, we could just use a little bit of Christmas. I'm really not talking about the lights or the decorations or the traditions, or those things are very meaningful. But the true message of Christmas itself. This year, we need to be reminded of God's gift at Christmas time, the gift of His Son, the gift of the Savior of the world. Gabriel assured Mary that no word of God will ever fail. And in case that we would have some doubts about that this promise being true, God wrapped this promise in the flesh of a baby, and He gave the infant the name Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the earthly Son of Mary. Jesus brings light into the world and joy and peace into our lives, even during difficult times. Jesus is God's gift of salvation and hope at Christmas time. How should we respond to such a gift? We should respond like Mary. We should respond with faith. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. He is Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do adore You today. We celebrate the gift of Your Son. Father, we admit that we have been battered this year and in recent weeks. It feels like there's a lot of darkness, and yet today we're reminded of the light of Jesus. Father, I pray that we would follow the example of Mary, that we would humbly submit ourselves to just embrace Your will and to, in faith, trust that Your word will never fail to us and in our lives. Father, I pray that we could be a people of faith. I pray that You would continue to sustain us and help us just to hold on to those wonderful promises that You've made known through Jesus. And it's in His name we pray today. Amen. Let's stand together and we'll respond today with a song of worship. If there's someone here today that needs to respond in faith, perhaps for the first time, confessing Jesus as Lord, surrendering your life to Him in an act of trust and the act of baptism, we would offer that invitation. Maybe for many of us today, we just need to sing this song and live by faith and not confession that you need to make, you're invited.